Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendez, and on this week's show, we'll be looking back at an emphatic win over Exeter City in midweek, and of course, ahead to Saturday's home game with Blackpool. Joining me to talk about those two games, first up, top right, Joe Puddyfoot. How are you doing, Joe?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. I mean, I needed a cup of chamomile, didn't I, to calm down from the 0-0. So I've pretty much been injecting it the last couple of days to get myself back on the straight and narrow. So good week so far.
You bathing in chamomile tea after a 4-1 victory. It's like gushing out of his every orifice. And also joining us, bottom of the screen there. Don't know if he's got anything gushing out of him this evening. Lewis Cat, how you doing, Lou?
Not at the moment, mate, but if we win again Saturday, you never know. Yeah, no, I'm good, mate. Thank you. I'm all good. I'm still, very happy after Tuesday night. I thought it was a good performance. So, yeah, can't complain.
Yeah, 4-1 win against Exeter has put a smile on all of our faces. So we'll look back at that game. We're going to hear the goals shortly. We're going to hear from Mickey Apples and the man who got a brace, Alfie May, from that game. We'll look ahead to Blackpool as well. Hopefully, we're going to have Tom from the It's Not Orange podcast to tell us a little bit about the Seasiders, and we want to hear from you guys as well ahead of the game. There's loads of people in the chat already. Evening to All Hell Let Loose, to Andrew, to Paul, who's listening from the Bromley Addicts meeting live at the Legion in Petswood, and everyone else. There's loads of people in the chat already, so good to see all of you. Let us know what you made of Tuesday evening's performance. Does it change how you feel about the side? Was it the all-round performance you're hoping to see? Loads to talk about. And yeah, let us know if there's any changes you want to see for Blackpool as well. Before we hear the goals, Joe, we'll delve into it. But I mean, 4-1 win, first of all, that's a result that you can't be sniffing at. That's a good night for us.
A very good night for us. I'm sure we'll talk about it. It's things like the red card and a couple other bits within that. But we set up attacking and I think we took the game to them pretty well. The biggest thing I took away from Tuesday night is that somehow we started with four strikers, but we ended with a more attacking team. And I don't know any team has ever managed to achieve such a feat. So it's nice to know that we're going to be taking the game to teams. And it certainly, you sort of came away thinking we've taken our chances. A number of people played really, really well. And Louis Watson, I mean, I've fallen in love with another loan player. It just add him to the people that are here temporarily, that I'm going to be devastated come May when he's no longer part of the squad. But lots of people put their hands up, and a good reaction as well to Saturday. So no complaints over here. Yeah.
Evening to Gavin Carter as well. Presumably the board member, Gavin Carter. They're obviously keeping a close eye on everything we have to say. I hope you're enjoying the show, Gavin. Let's have a listen to the goals then from Charlton TV. As always, Steve Brown was alongside the always excellent Terry Smith.
From Cole, and he's picked out the run of Scott, and Scott's into the area and finishes, and Charlton caught out from the deep run. Scott was pretty much by the edge of his own area when he picked the ball up. Partridge then took over, picked out Cole. Scott kept his run going and nobody went with him, and the ball through picked him out, and he finished beyond Maynard Brewer, and Exeter City had the opening goal.
Yeah, and that's not the first time that gap's been there, if I'm honest. It happened about 10 minutes into the game.
Straight to Hector. It's a good ball up to Alfie May, who's got space to turn. Heading towards the edge of the penalty area, Alfie May still in possession. Goes to the right. Ball back across, looking for Anike, who gets his head there. Off the crossbar, and Blackie Taylor finishes for Charlton and brings us back level. Excellent ball into Alfie May, who turns, drifts across to the right. Great ball back across. What a header from Chucks Anike that initially looked like the chance had gone as it cannoned off the crossbar, but Blackie Taylor, first to react, pounces and strikes the equaliser.
Yeah, and it's an outstanding time to score, Terry. It changes everything about half time. I'm sure Michael Afton's still going to have a word about some of the defending aspects of this first 45 minutes, because there's been a couple of moments, and it has literally been
to the feet of Tenich, who goes back to Tanay Watson. May have been fouled. Tanay Watson, ball into the box, or headed away. Tanay Watson trying to get there again, and was he fouled? Yes, he was. It's a penalty to Charlton. He's taken over. The ball from Alfie May has got this penalty in front of the covered end. Chuksanike, oh, it's saved off the post, and then Alfie May follows up. He may not have taken the penalty, but he's buried the rebound to make sure Charlton go 2-1 up.
Yeah, I don't know what the extra keeper Sinisalo's on about, but he's surrounded the ref.
Ainson, almost on. Surely followed through on May there. It was accidental, but it was a follow through, and he's got a red card. This is very, I think this could be similar to the Liverpool controversy at the weekend. I don't think that was deliberate. He's certainly out of control, but I don't think he meant to make contact with Alfie May. The follow through certainly caught the Charlton striker.
Well, Exeter's night's just unfolded in the last 90 seconds or so.
Back to Dobson. Tanay Watson again. This time Louis Watson makes a run, as does Tedditch. That's great bring down from Louis Watson, then taking off his toes to Leeburn. Leeburn in the box, takes a shot. Oh, what a finish! What a finish in front of the covered end from Miles Leeburn. The ball slightly fortuitously ran to him in the centre of the edge of the penalty area. Took a touch onto his right foot and drilled it past Sinisalo to give Charlton a two-goal cushion. Under Blackett-Taylor takes a touch past Sweeney into the penalty area. Corey Blackett-Taylor past the keeper. Can he finish back to Leeburn? No, but Alfie May's there. And he slams it into the roof of the net for Charlton's fourth.
And that is exactly what I'm on about. Alfie May grabbing a second. Blackett-Taylor showing a bit more in those forward areas. Miles Leeburn, maybe, hopefully. Let's see if he can get a second in these dying moments of this game. These make big differences, Tel. A 2-1, a 3-1 to a 5-1 or a 6-1 can make a massive difference when you walk into the training ground, whenever that may be, on Thursday, maybe tomorrow for recovery. There's a great opportunity here to put down a real stamp, to build confidence, to build team morale, to get your goal scorers scoring. Take advantage while you can.
There we go. The highlights from Charlton TV of an excellent victory over Exeter City in midweek. I mean, we could let's talk about that performance then, Lewis, because I actually listened back to the game. I did the commentary on Radio London over the week, so I always like to listen back just to see where I went wrong, basically. And I forgot that there were probably for spells of that first half, we were getting a bit frustrated because we enjoyed a lot of the ball, but we weren't quite carving out those chances. Obviously, Brownie mentioned it there after Corey Blackett-Taylor's goal, that we've been caught out a couple of times on the counter. But the important thing is, I guess, we stuck in and ground out the result. And then in the second half, we went for the jugular and got a four-goal haul, which is only going to increase confidence for everyone, really.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I thought periods in that first half, obviously, when the team sheet came out, originally there was a little bit of, you know, raised eyebrows over who was going to be playing where. I think there was a bit of confusion over who, with the amount of strikers, as Joe's already said, that were named in that team sheet, how we would be lining up. So I felt sort of, especially in that first like 20, 25 minutes, that maybe that translated on the pitch slightly. I thought there were a few people caught out of position. I thought May was playing far too deep at times. I thought we were being, as you said, we were caught on the counter a couple of times, and after a few, you know, failed attempts, we got caught out and they go 1-0 up. And it felt like it was going to head towards a bit of a frustrating evening where we were just throwing everything at it to try and rescue a result. But I think that the timing that we scored and that Corey scored was very critical. It obviously changes that team talk at half time. And I thought that we were excellent after that. I thought that we looked a threat going forward. You know, I was talking to my friend that I go with, and we can't believe the attacking options that we've got there now compared to where we were weeks ago. Looking at where we are now in terms of all that attacking threat, it's a great headache for Mickey Apples to have in terms of who he starts in those areas, because all of them are threatening. I thought Chucks was outstanding. I was gutted he didn't score his penalty, but I thought that a lot of his hold up play was good. He was getting in the right areas. He was bullying their defenders. And I mean, what a positive for him to get 68 minutes on the clock as well. I think that's outstanding from him, and I'm really happy for him. So yeah, lots and lots of positives to take from Tuesday. an overall performance very, very promising. And we've obviously gone unbeaten now under Appleton, and long may it continue, because we're obviously seeing the benefits of his sort of coaching caliber. And I think I said on the previous show, like, having somebody with him experienced as well, maybe helping with those tactical decisions to get us in these positions and make differences in games. Because we're not lining up the same in each one. We're adapting, which is something I don't feel like we've done enough. So, yeah, long may this continue, because it was a really enjoyable watch on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tom says, first half, we looked bang average. We kept giving the ball away, couldn't hold the ball. Only good few minutes of the first half was the Garmin. Like, I felt we had loads. It felt like we had loads of the ball, and we had all these options on the edge of the box, and Exeter were sitting in and probably executing their game plan perfectly, which led to the goal. So, I mean, I'm trying to see it as, well, if the fact that I still feel like there's a gear we could go up, Joe, and the fact that Michael's found a way to win games. You know, and you hear, I ask him about it in the interview. He's found a way to win games where overall there's been elements of the performances that he wants to see get better. But the fact we're picking up points, which we certainly weren't doing at the start of the season, that certainly feels promising, because I'm convinced there's another gear that we can go into.
Yeah, I think the start of that game screams the fact that we made a quite big tactical adjustment with no time on the training pitch, because May really was getting a lot of direction from Dobbo in that first half about where he should be, and he seemed a little bit lost for large chunks of it. And there was one great moment in the first half where we had a front six, both fullbacks and four attackers all stood in the line, and then Dobbo and Louis Watson sitting in behind looking forward going, hang on, who am I meant to pass to? So they've obviously got to get through challenges like that if he's learning on the fly and making lots of adjustments without time on the training pitch. But the players, I thought, worked really, really hard on Saturday, and we certainly won some of the physical battles that we probably lost on the weekend. So overall, they're finding that bit of desire, and it's twice now this season, isn't it, I think, that we've come from behind to win, which is, you know, as many times as we have in the last 4 years. So there's obviously something in this squad about not giving up and persevering and grinding out results. But we've got some great individual quality through that squad, and with the likes of Louis Watson able to just dominate, you're gonna, even if you're struggling to dominate from start to end, you're gonna find opportunities and spaces to win. And if that defense can keep the mistakes down, then the platform is there to score the goals that is going to get us the results over the course of the season, even if we aren't, you know, barnstorming from minute zero to minute 90.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point about the, you know, picking up the win from behind. It's the second time we've done it in the space of three home games now after the Fleetwood game. And I guess a lot of that, as has already been mentioned, comes down to the fact that the manager can turn behind him and see Miles Leeburn sitting on the bench. You know, in previous games, he's had, obviously, Jooks to bring on, someone like Tedic to bring on, who again, is just looking a handful, isn't he? Like, obviously, started on Tuesday. Like, we have these forward options from the bench, and it does come down to, you know, that's certainly not going to be the end of the pitch that's going to be our problem. There's still improvements to be made at the back, but I feel like we're edging in the right direction. Obviously, the goals against has gone down a little bit. You know, the one we conceded Saturday was on Tuesday, I should say, was a bit disappointing. But the one we scored right on the stroke of half-time, I think it was Ben put in our group chat, saying it's finally a bit of movement and it leads to something, because it did feel a bit static at times in that first half. But when we started to grow into that new formation and Alfie went wide and we dragged a few players out, then it led to something. And great to see Corey Blackett-Taylor where he was. You don't see Corey Blackett-Taylor doing that as often as he should have done. But again, this comes back to, I think he's getting that end product. He's picking up and up and up. Second half of last season, start of this season, he's really becoming like the, not the finished article, but he's certainly leaning towards being the finished article.
100%. You know, he's becoming incredibly key for us at the moment. His performances, you know, I think Saturday was a bit of a downer for most of us, to be honest, with the 0-0. But, you know, he was outstanding again on Tuesday night. He's just so dangerous. Like I say, I don't think there are many players, if any player, in this division that is as dangerous as Corey Blackett-Taylor. Once he gets that end product, I cannot think of a player that is as quick. You know, I don't see a single fullback keeping up with him. He's outrageously good on the ball. scarily fast, and that plays in our favour, especially when you've got all these other attacking outlets now getting in the right areas. But as you say, it was Corey getting in the right area, which is great to see, because, you know, it's notched, that's another goal for him this season. He's a fairly positive start in terms of the goal scoring side of things, and from creating as well. So he's getting those stats in. You know, he had a bit of interest at the end of the summer window, which I think complements how good he's been. And I always think he's been up there in terms of performers over the last few seasons, because when he performs, he really performs. What we didn't see was that consistency. But I think this season, as you say, we're starting to see that now. And we're reaping the reward of having somebody that is that dangerous and that clinical, on top of having people like Alfie May, who are not just feeding off the scraps that he creates, but also bringing him into play. It was a great ball in from Alfie over to Chucks to create the initial chance. Obviously, Chucks gets no right to get that header whatsoever, wins it, hits the bar. Another unlucky for him, you know, felt like anything he hit wasn't going to go in on Tuesday. But as you say, Corey's there to follow it up, and we wouldn't always see that. So, you know, he's been fantastic. And I think that his form is really, really benefiting our other attacking players, which is only going to benefit us moving forward, because we've got some seriously good goal scorers in that side. You know, I stand by Alfie May is probably the best goal scorer in this division. When you've got players like Corey feeding him, then that's an incredibly dangerous partnership that's going to obviously do wonders for us moving forward.
Yeah, Alfie is just absolutely ridiculous, isn't he? We'll hear from him later on in the show, and we'll speak a bit more about him then. But yeah, it's very, very, very good sign in that. Brazilian saying, I said Louis Watson was class during the match, Fred, and it received two lulls, which is a war crime. David Todman saying Watson added some midfield class. Aaron saying didn't start the best first 20-25, lots of long ball switching play, which wasn't working. Settled down after that. Louis Watson was great. May could go missing at times, but did well in a new position. Yeah, lots of love for Louis Watson in that midfield. I mean, I had Paul Mortimer alongside me, who spoke very highly of both Dobbo and Watson, particularly in the first half when all that action was happening with those two. It felt like running the show, but us unable to bring the forward players in until the end of the half. But yeah, that Louis Watson. I remember after the Crawley game, and then whatever the first home league game in which he played, I remember putting in my takeaways like, very, very early days, but he looks tidy. I'd like to see how he progresses in this side. And I think he's just getting better and more confident. And the thing I loved, I don't know if you've seen the video from the corner. I think it was after the penalty save, and then Alfie puts it in and the players come over to celebrate. And I've got nothing against Terrell Thomas having a laugh and joining in with a song. I'm glad he's enjoying his football. But I love the fact that it's a 22-year-old Louis Watson who's there going, come on, 2-1. We've still got a lot to do in this game. Like that is maturity beyond his years. And I mean, it's been a really good start to his Charlton career, Joe.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I would have completely forgotten it. But when I watched that video, I was like, that is a sign of a player who's going to add a lot of value to us over the course of the season, not just what he's doing on the ball, but at times when that ball is dead, we know concentration is one of our biggest weaknesses. So someone reminding people to concentrate could be a bit of a secret weapon. I think that Louis is just one of those players, like a bit like Jensen. Not saying he's the same caliber at all, but he just has time. It doesn't matter how many players are around him. You pass him the ball and he seems to have enough time to put a cup of tea on, put his feet up, slippers on, and then still finds the pass. And his distribution was the next level. Him and Dobbo together, you're not going to get too many, I don't think, midfield pairings that are going to be able to distribute the ball and sort of take the game by the scruff of the neck at this level, especially with the league being sort of as weak as it is this season. I really liked the way that he carries the ball as well. It's not just ticking the ball over and passing it off and then looking for another option. He's more than willing to take a man on and mix it up as well. So I think that there's a real challenge there, because you've got Fraser, Pan, Watson, Dobbo. That's four quality players. And based on Saturday, it looks like only really two midfielders are going to be playing at any time, if that's the sort of formation and the strategy. So we've got a bit more of an embarrassment of riches, but lots of different styles as well. And it could be that Watson, with the way that he carries the ball, can actually help get the best out of other players in that midfield with Fraser and Pan, if they can find a way to get all three of them in for certain games as well. So yeah, I'm really excited to watch him for the rest of the season. As I said earlier, I've already fallen in love with him. So going to be heartbroken in May.
Yeah, all hell let loose then. How can we fit Louis Watson, Dobbo, Camara and Fraser into our midfield? And obviously the answer is we can't, but that's options. I mean, that is good to have some options and some depth. And it's good to see, you know, there was and still are obviously concerns that towards the end of the window, we certainly beefed up the squad with a lot of younger bodies. But, you know, Louis Watson has sort of played beyond these years, really, which is good to see. And we are going to rely on that sort of depth and these young ones, particularly the loanees, obviously stepping up to the plate. And he is one that has done so. Red card for Will Anderson. Literally, I listened back to it and I timed it. I think from kickoff to the red card was about 7 seconds. So something stupid, Lou. Like, it's been overturned today. I can see why it's been overturned, because the angle where you see it, he clearly, it's especially slowed down. He goes in one-footed, then the follow-through is after. I can also see why it was given in real time, because from the referee's angle, which is the same angle as the main camera on the west side, which I've seen an angle from there as well, it does feel like it could have been in one movement. So I wouldn't have been shocked if it wasn't overturned, but if it had gone against us, I think I would have been pretty upset.
Yeah, it was a strange decision, wasn't it? I mean, I was where I sit in the North Upper. It looked really bad because of the angle, but when you watch it back, obviously you see there's no malice in it at all. It's just the speed of it. But ultimately, when you're watching it in real time, the ref has to make that decision there and then, doesn't he? And you're right. I think if it went against us on the day, I probably wouldn't make a huge amount of gripes. If I saw it from the angle I was watching and it was our player, I'd be like, oh, it's a bit clumsy. Then watching it back is where I'd be frustrated. And obviously that's what Exeter is seeing now. But, you know, it's been overturned and it goes against us more often than not anyway. So I'm not going to be too upset about the decision going our way for the first time in what feels like forever. But yeah, I can definitely feel a hard done by. But I even think with 11 men in the second half, we probably would have gone on and won that game by a similar margin, because I just felt like we came out a completely different gear in that second half.
Yeah, we haven't actually spoke about the discussion for the penalty. I've got a lot to get into. I thought it was a penalty. I thought Tanai Watson was very clever in that he saw he was the wrong side of Wild Chat. You see penalties given for that. If you're not very careful in the penalty area and a player gets in between you and the ball, you're going to kick him. It's going to be a penalty. Bob saying a number of candidates for player of the year already. Jones, May, Blackett, Taylor, Dobbo. Yeah, it's good to see players having a good show so far. Brazilian saying that he's improved. Vast improvement under Appleton Jones. Yeah, I mean, he's been very good so far. Johan's asking for thoughts on Hector. He said he was good on Tuesday. Aaron said, apart from his walkabout for the goal, yeah, Hector played better. I mean, I wonder how much that red card changes the way the game goes. Because, I mean, we'd just gone 2-1 up. And again, when I listened back to it last night and this morning, Mortz was saying, you know, maybe Charlton haven't not deserved to go 2-1 up fully yet. You know, it was still quite even at that point. You know, Ash had made a really good save from I think it was from Mitchell on coming in from the right quite early on in that second half. So the chances had been fairly even. But do you think the red card certainly played a part in how we went on to finish the game, Joe?
Yeah, I do. I actually think that. I put in the group that I felt was a deflating 4-1 win, which Benji hammered me for probably fairly. But just in terms of, I just felt that the red card gave us a real opportunity, because they were really struggling to hold back our attacking play. And we took our foot off the gas a little bit. So I think that it's been really helpful in terms of getting some rest, some active rest into the players ahead of Saturday. But certainly from that point onwards, we were dominant, and Exeter sort of struggled, I think, to get a foothold in the game again afterwards. That, just going back to the Maynard Brewer save that you mentioned earlier, I thought what is good to see is that even when we're having those moments, Tanai Watson got that block in and people being alive to the danger. But yeah, going back to the red card, it definitely changed the flow of the game. We should have, I think, had enough to beat them anyway. I think we probably would have gone on to win, having had the rollick in, having just got the goal. The, you know, North Upper would have been bringing them or dragging that ball into the goal for us for the rest of the half. But certainly a real benefit. But it's tinged with that. I think that we haven't had a complete performance for 90 minutes yet. And I felt like we had an opportunity when that red card was to really hammer them for 45 minutes and take so much confidence and a bit of goal difference into the rest of the season. But hopefully the rest or the slightly more lackadaisical end to the game in terms of effort levels means that we're nice and fresh for Saturday. And we certainly got to rest a lot of players, which will be huge when we're doing Saturday, Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't come out feeling like I didn't feel like I wanted more. Like I was quite happy with four. You know, the way we finished off the game. Yeah, maybe the last 5 minutes or so, we sort of took our foot off the gas in added time. I really wasn't too concerned about that. George says, I still think our defence will define our season, I'm afraid, unless we win every game 4-3. I mean, yeah, I'd probably disagree with something Brazilians were just saying in the chat. Might sound biased, but we had Exeter's number. Yeah, I probably agree with that overall. I think I felt like we could certainly edge that game. But he said we looked defensively sound against Shrewsbury. Had a control on that game, in my opinion. I mean, only in the second half. And even then, I mean, our goalkeeper was man of the match for us. You know, I'm still concerned overall about that side of it. You know, we gave up a couple of decent chances on Tuesday. It's easy to forget that when we win 4-1. But I don't want that to take away from the shine from the win and the fact that we are a good attacking side. You know, I think we're in a similar situation to last year. It's just whether we can find that extra edge at the back. We've certainly got one defender who's better than probably anything we had last year in Jones. It's just about following it up at the end. Obviously, yeah, so the third goal was Lee Byrne off the bench. The fourth goal was, again, Corey, fantastic. It was a through ball. I can't remember who the through ball was against, but who it was. But then it was well around the keeper by Blackett Taylor and a good finish by May as well. Shiny Phil said, I thought that apart from Hector's positioning for the goal, our defending looked improved. Jones gets better with every match. Our Brazilians were saying Exeter rather than Shrewsbury, which does make a bit more sense. Excellent. Right, we need to hear from the gaffer, I think. Michael Appleton came to speak to me and Richard after the game. This is what he had to say.
Emphatic victory here at the Valley this evening. How did you see that one?
Yeah, I was delighted. You know, I've just said to the chat on TV then where obviously a little bit of lapse in concentration for their goal, but I was really pleased the way we played in that first half. I thought we were so close on so many occasions to like open them up and you know, defence splitting pass, and it didn't quite happen. But the most pleasing thing was the amount of players we were prepared to run without the ball and really hurt the opposition. So happy with the performance in the first half, disappointed obviously with the goal. The response, they keep responding, which is really, really pleasing because, you know, I think I said it in my programme notes, you know, there was a question mark over them as a group, maybe being a little bit of a soft touch, and that was one thing I wanted to eradicate and make sure that doesn't happen. And when we've been asked questions over the first four games, they've responded really, really well. And then obviously I thought we were a good second half, but the worry when you go down, the opposition go down to 10 men is that they're going to take an extra touch of the ball and slow it down a little bit. But we did the opposite and it was great to see.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big points you made on Saturday is that you wanted a more competitive edge to your side today. Is that what you got today?
100%, yeah, definitely. You know, listen, we camped for long, long periods in their half of the field, in their sort of last third of the field. We still can be a bit more patient at times, but it's very difficult for me to be critical of the team tonight because, you know, they give me everything they had.
Obviously, the goal on the stroke of half-time is never a bad time to score, and that set up the second half nicely.
Yeah, and it was coming. You know, like I say, we were knocking on the door a lot, and they dropped into a five, and they had four in front and, you know, one. So it was difficult to try and break them down at times, but, yeah, they kept probing, kept asking questions, kept running up without the ball, and got the reward.
Just had the pleasure of speaking to Alfie May. Obviously, he's been the penalty taker in pre-season and so far, but not today. What's your view? I mean, we saw Arsenal do it for, I think, Havertz, was it, down at Bournemouth, but is that something planned. You're not a fan of?
Wasn't planned. Look, at the end of the day, I've got a lot of trust in the players. I always put trust in the players. We got away with it tonight, okay? We got away with it a little bit, but, yeah, ultimately, it's not one of them. I'm not going to try and say that I'm, you know, try to copy people or, you know, we did this and tried to be too clever. You know, it was it was a situation that was rectified very, very quickly.
Yeah, when it, obviously, to see Chuck start a game, it's the first time since February, and he only started one league game last season. It feels like a big decision considering his fitness record. Is there something different about him now? Is he fitter? Is it?
Yeah, well, listen, I can't really speak from what's happened in the past. All I can say is that he looks really, really fit. He looks really hungry. I think the performances that he's made coming off the bench have proven that, but obviously they've proven that for a long period of time. I said to him that I trust him to play and start the games at times. We've got to, you know, manage that as best we possibly can. But he didn't want to come off, you know, and it wasn't just because he wanted to score a goal. He was fit. He feels fit and strong, and you know, I really hope that sort of continues, because if we've got a fit and really competitive Chuksaniki in the team, then he's going to be a real threat for us.
I'll probably ask you about Alfie May's attributes as a goal scorer most weeks, so we'll talk about something else involved in him, the red card today. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I haven't looked back, so I've got to be careful what I say, but it looked like he caught him. The only issue with tackles these days, like literally as soon as you lift your foot, you are in danger of definitely getting a yellow card, but you know, if you come off the floor as well, you're potentially getting a red card. I'm saying that after watching it at live and not knowing, obviously, because I've not had a look since.
It's been a very good start, I guess you'd say, certainly in terms of results. Obviously, there's been elements of performances that you would have liked to have seen better, but I mean, could you imagine it would have gone this well at the start?
Yeah, well, the reality is 4 weeks in, performances are not really important. You know, it's one of them, they'll come over time and they'll get better, and you know, you need to pick up points, and that's the single most important thing, because with points you get confidence, with confidence you play better. So delighted, really, really happy. Two home wins, two draws on the road. Really, really difficult game coming up on Saturday and Tuesday against two former clubs. So I'm sure that'll bring a bit of spice into it, but I know I'm looking forward to it. And listen, if you walk to that dressing room, I'm sure they'll tell you the same.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Michael Appleton, after that 4-1 win over Exeter City in midweek. As I said earlier on in the show, we spoke about that there's still more to come in terms of performances, but I agree with Michael there. That means we're in a good place because we're picking up points. We're doing well on that front. And like I say, I think we can tighten up defensively a little bit. I think, you know, there's probably more 90-minute showings in us. I mean, Sam's pointing out, I agree with you, Louis. I feel our defence will play a factor in where we finish. Hope we can look at this in the January window. Shall we ask about the penalty situation. I asked Alfie about it, which we'll hear shortly as well. But Michael wasn't very happy, Joe, about the fact that Chooks was given the penalty by Alfie. Man, bear in mind, this was at 1-1. So when Kai Havertz got given the penalty for Arsenal down at Bournemouth, I think they were already 2-0 up, and that made it 3-0. And then Ben White got the fourth, if I remember rightly. But it was certainly, it wasn't 0-0 or 1-0. Or like 1-0. It was, so we got away with it. I mean, it's nice to see the team spirit, but it's interesting that Michael was upset about that and told us as well, which you don't always get from managers.
No, I couldn't believe that Chucks has taken it. I mean, the only thing he got hold of all night was that header, really. Shooting-wise, he'd sort of struggled, didn't he, in front of goal. If he'd scored two and we were a couple up and it was for the hat trick, yeah, fair enough. You know, how often do you score a hat trick as a professional footballer? But 1-0, it's just a rogue decision. And the thing is those decisions can lose you points that cost you at the end of the season. So May's not had a brilliant record. I mean, he's 2 from 4, so he's hardly prolific from the spot. But the only situation, I think, where the number one penalty taker doesn't take the penalty is if he genuinely doesn't feel it. If he just doesn't feel right in that moment and goes, I don't fancy it, I'm going to pass the responsibility on. That's the only opportunity, I think, to do it. And it hasn't cost us because he followed it up, but it's very, very lucky that it hasn't come back to bite us. It's, as you say, it's nice to see team spirit, but I want to see a team spirit where it's, we're going to go out and dominate and win at any cost. We're going to win at any cost, not we're going to make sure our mate scores a goal because he's been out for a long time. But Chucks will get his goal. It will probably be an absolute barnstormer where he holds off about 7 players rather than an easy tap in. It doesn't need to be given that then in a game, especially when we had a disappointing result on Saturday. You know, we needed another win at home to gear us up for this weekend. So yeah, not impressed.
Right, who wants to see a graph? It's graph time. Here we go. Right, let's bring it up onto the screen. So I did say after doing the one on the first game of the season, I said we wait until 10 games in before bringing it up. So for those of you listening on the podcast and not looking on YouTube, I'll just give you the lowdown of what it shows. So we can see the average points needed to finish in the top six in League One are 74.2. The average points needed to stay up are 48.7. Based on the points per game that Charlton have taken over the first 10 games of the season, we would finish on 64.4 points. Now, obviously, what this doesn't really take into account is when you can see our actuals line, the red line that's solid for those watching on YouTube going up. I mean, it's going up quite sharply in the last 5 games, whereas it was flatlined after the first game for the next 4. So we're certainly heading in the right direction. It shows that, I mean, if we were to repeat this 10 games over and over again, we wouldn't get there. We need more, but I think that's not to anyone's surprise after the way we started the season under Dean, unfortunately. But yeah, that gives us an idea that you can see that red line. What we want is that red line down the bottom to be higher than the blue line. Then that would show that we're on track. And if we'd won on Saturday against Shrewsbury, and then obviously we followed that up on Tuesday, that red line would be pretty much where that blue line is. So we're really not far away currently from being roughly where we need to be points per game. It's very early in the season. I think the more accurate thing we need to look at is the games remaining graphic I've just brought up onto the screen that shows what sort of results we'd need to get to that 75 points, roughly. From 36 games left, we can win 17, draw 10, lose 9. I mean, these are all the sort of achievable ways we can get into the top six, Lewis. I mean, looking at those stats, do you feel confident? I mean, it feels like a lot of wins. I mean, unless we only lose one game for the rest of the season, if we did that, then the least amount we'd need to win is 13. We're probably looking at if we lost another 7, then won 16 and drew 13. I mean, that's something that is realistic. It's whether, you know, for any team, is it realistic for us over the course of the rest of the season?
It's a tough one, really. I mean, I don't want to write it off because I think that we've looked much better.
And the graph, I mean, like I say, with the graph says it's way too early to write it off because we're not far off that blue line.
Exactly. Exactly that. And also, we've got a game in hand, haven't we? So that gives us that little bit more, I suppose, in terms of getting close to the current setup. It's dependent really on how strong the division is going to be as well, I suppose, because I don't know what the graph takes into account on this season, whether it's on average points. But if this
average
is a weaker
points
league
over the last 10 years, so it does. So yeah. If the top six is 85 this year, then the graph will look very silly by the end of the season. But it's just roughly giving us an idea of if we're on track.
Yeah, which I'm thinking this season, if anything, it's going to be weaker, this League One, because it does feel a little bit, you know, that we had the start that we had, which was appalling. You know, it was really, really poor. We were down in the dumps. And you fast forward four or five games under Appleton, and we're 4 points behind the playoffs with a game in hand over the top six. It shows that really that this division's not that great. So that I'm confident that if we can knuckle down a bit of consistency, then there's no reason why we can't push for the top six. You know, I don't think that's beyond doubt at all. What we've got to do is strike up that consistency, strike up a bit of rhythm, keep our best players fit, and try and win as many games as possible. You know, ultimately that's all we can do. I feel more confident about it now after watching the last couple of performances. You know, not just because they've been good results, but performances collectively, I think, have been much better. We've got players coming back from injuries now. I mean, the bench on Tuesday to bring, you know, Fraser, Leeburn, those sorts of players off the bench, Tyrese Campbell, Asimwe, like they're all good players. To bring those players off the bench when you've already got other players starting, that's good because some of those players can impact games. What we had before is we didn't have anybody on the bench that was going to come on and make a real impact. Now it feels like we've got options. You know, Leeburn and EK can rotate between the two. May is obviously playing outstanding at the moment. That's something we didn't have before. Like, I feel like we've got a little bit more in terms of options. We've got a lot more options. And I think the key for us is having the ability to make actual substitutions that are going to change games, not just for the sake of people getting tired legs. And I think, you know, we've got if we win on Saturday and keep this run going, then the graph's going to look great, isn't it? So, yeah, I'm at the moment.
Excellent. I mean, Joe's pointed out just on our private chat that top six is roughly aiming for 75.2 points at the moment, which is pretty much in line with what we expect. And it was 77 last year, as 81, I think, the year before, maybe even higher. 83 the year before. So, yeah, hopefully we'll see. Quick email. Steve says, a decent result. We're not always going to be able to give sides a goal start, though. For me, Louis Watson was the standout, always trying to accelerate the play with one and two touch passes and great energy. Brownie's tactical nous on comms was excellent. Mickey Apples should sign him up. Right, we're going to hear from Alfie May shortly. Then we're going to turn our attention to Saturday's visitors, Blackpool, because our guest is waiting in the waiting room as well. So let's hear from the Addicts top scorer, shall we? Alfie May came to speak to me after he got his brace against Exeter in midweek. This is what he had to say.
It was very good. We showed good mentality, good courage to, obviously we conceded a goal. To get back in it before half time is a great time to score. And I thought we started really well tonight.
Another two for yourself as well. I mean, you're ticking along really nicely now.
Yeah. Listen, that's why I got brought into this club. I like to score goals. I like to, like I say, work hard and goals pay you back. So, yeah, no, it's nice to get a goal. And like I say, the big thing was 3 points, keeping sort of this run up. I think that's 3 wins on the bounce now at home. And we sort of want to make this place sort of rocking every time we play. And at the minute, it seems like that.
Yeah, you mentioned that goal at half-time was quite important for the side. Obviously, we've fallen behind in the first half and enjoyed a lot of the ball, but perhaps not quite creating as much as we would have wanted. And then it was a big header from Anikan Blackett-Taylor there at the right time, not just for the goal, but for the sort of the way the game was going.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, we conceded a goal. Someone sort of runs off one of our players and they get a goal. And sort of we was on top of them at that time. And it sort of... You see heads dropping and we just said, listen, like we've been the better team and we carry on going. We've seen positive and we wanted to start how we started this second half against Shrewsbury. We didn't want to start slow and I thought we started really well and yeah, it was really important to get that goal up just before half time.
Sorry, with Arsenal at Bournemouth, they let someone who hadn't scored yet take a penalty on Saturday. Is that what happened today? Because obviously you've been the penalty taker so far.
Yeah, no, I'll take full responsibility tonight. a few of the lads and the staff a little bit probably angry that I didn't take it because I am the penalty taker. But just from the warm up, seeing Chooks how on it he was, and he's worked hard to get back, and he's had obviously a setback in pre-season, and he's worked so hard to, and he just wanted that goal. So I said yeah, like I wanted him to have it because I wanted him to get that goal and sort of kickstart his season. I think it was his first start tonight. So yeah, no, listen, I'm probably going to get asked and why I give it away, but I take full responsibility. I wanted him to get that goal. And listen, good karma, eh? It come back to me and I scored.
Yeah, you got a second one later on in the game, so it's up to six now. I mean, I'm sure you didn't see it like this, but I think, was it two or three at the start of the season without scoring? Were you ever worried that you weren't going to refine your form? Was that way too early to have been talking about that?
Oh, I think if you look back at my 2 years that I scored goals at Cheltenham, I sort of go on runs and then I go quiet for three, four games. But I still work hard for the team. I try my best every time I put on a shirt, and that's what I sort of say to myself. If I'm not getting the goals, make sure I work hard, and hopefully the next game I can get that goal.
I guess the chances were coming in that period at the start of the season, so it was only ever going to be a matter of time.
Yeah, listen, yeah, when I could have probably been on four or five goals. I think the Leighton Orient, the keeper's pulled an absolute worldie off from just about the penalty spot, and like I said, I just keep going, keep working hard, and the goals will come.
Dobbo next one against Orient as well.
That's it.
Well, I've just seen the red card on the TV. Tell us your views on what happened there.
Yeah, I just he sort of had a heavy touch. I just tried to get my toe in, and he's lunged in, sort of caught me on the end of the toe. Listen, they're screaming at me, saying that I've dived, etc. But he's caught me. I'm not saying it is a red card. I didn't see what happened after. But the ref was straight on it. So yeah, it's not nice to see people get sent off. It's not you. He definitely got a touch on me, and he lunged in.
Just finally, I mean, Michael's obviously tried a couple of slightly different formations, like a three up front and then sort of a three behind the one today. Obviously, that means with the striking options Charlton have, you're going to have different players playing in slightly different roles. I mean, do you have a preference for which one you'd be playing is? And do you mind playing the slightly deeper role that you started off with today?
No, definitely not. No, I like to sort of, we sort of game planned of Exeter would sort of come after us and sort of leave free at the back, and I can sort of make deeper runs, like running in behind. So the gaffer said to me, sort of playing in the 10 to make them deeper runs to get off Jukes. Yeah, listen, wherever the gaffer puts you, you play. Put me in goal if you want.
There we go. That's Alfie May chatting with me after the game on Tuesday. Yeah, interesting to hear his views on playing in the slightly different roles, playing the 10 role. I mean, someone asked in the chat earlier if we do that again on Saturday. I mean, he got two goals. I mean, can we complain? Obviously, he moved about a bit in the second half. But that's a conversation for another day, because we need to start to turn our attention to the home game with Blackpool coming up this Saturday. So I'm delighted to say we've got a guest joining us. It's Tom Main from the It's Not Orange pod. Tom, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. All good in myself, a bit annoyed about the football recently, but we move on.
Yeah, well, it was a 3-1 home defeat against Derby County in the week. I mean, we're going to ask you about how your season's gone shortly, but I guess it's nice to get a view from someone else who's been on the Mickey Apples train. Obviously, his previous job before coming to us was up at Bloomfield Road. What can you tell us about his time with you guys? Because obviously we've had Oxford fans on telling us he's in the best thing since sliced bread, but I guess you had a slightly different situation with him.
Yeah, I think the problem with Appleton is his time with us was tainted due to his history with the other club down the road, and second to that, you know, he didn't really get on the first time around under bad ownership, and he left us fairly swiftly. So the appointment itself, although apparently the best candidate at the time, left Blackpool fans probably 70-30, 80-20 in the favour of him not wanting to be at the club. So every result where it didn't go his way, it was kind of, you know, emphasised that they didn't want him at the club, and it just turned really bitter really quickly and almost from the start, the odd win here and there. And he tried to play some really good football. And don't get me wrong, there were some games where we had Burnley away 3-3, Bristol City at home 3-3. We beat QPR away for the first time in about 40 years. He did have some good performances, but at the same time, the football was just consistently quite poor. He played Patino and Sonny Carey, both very young players, although talented, as are two centre midfielders throughout the season, every single game, and they were just knackered being overrun. And the Championships, as you know, is an extremely hard league to get hold of, especially in the central of midfield. So the club took ages to pot him. Fans didn't like him. It just turned toxic really quickly. But himself, he tries to play good football. He's very stubborn in his ways. I know once he wants to do things, he will continue to do that. But, you know, he did really well at Oxford, and we thought we might see signs of that, and Exeter previously as well, as we all know. So I think he's a very decent League One manager, in my opinion.
I mean, interesting hearing your thoughts. I mean, hopefully he has a bit more luck with us, and hopefully you're a bit more annoyed about him when it comes around to Saturday as well. That'd be an ideal result. But this season so far, how's it going for yourselves? Obviously not that far into it, but 10 games is normally a bit of a marker for how your season's going to be.
Yeah, if it's a marker, we're going to be where we are, I think. It's somewhat disappointing. We've had a fairly good window. We thought Critchley in his meticulous ways, as previously, got us up in his first full season with us, would be back. We were fairly confident, had a good result initially, but then three games at 0-0, where I don't understand what we were trying to do. We played five at the back against weaker opposition. I don't take any team in League One for granted. I think on the whole, it's a very strong league. There'll be some teams, obviously, which pull away, but ultimately each team has got their special players, and each game will be hard. So we played a very defensive game at home when we should have attacked teams, and we've just not really had an identity. And Jordan Rhodes has brought an element to that, given that experience. But all in all, it's been poor, because the style of football, if we lost games 2-1 and we really played well, and, you know, fair enough, 10 games in, you're struggling, but we haven't really gone out to attack anybody consistently. We haven't really given anyone a real fright. And we've respected teams way too much, which cost us early doors and cost us Tuesday night as well.
Hiya, Tom. Yeah, I was going to say, I think you've made some good additions in the summer. Seeing Owen Dale come back in, and Jordan Rhodes, as you mentioned. But a player we're very familiar with, of course, is Albie Morgan. So he spent a long time with us coming through the academy. Played a lot of games for us before joining you guys in the summer. How's he settling in on the seaside with you guys?
Albie Morgan. I think when I spoke to Cheltenham fans when he signed, it was very much probably 60-40 that you were happy he was gone, but some fans was like, there isn't ultimately a really good player in there, and I see him somewhat of a luxury player. He hasn't done exactly what we expected of him immediately, but at the same time, he hasn't been given a role particularly. He's been playing in a free midfield as a 5-3-2, but we've often found him drifting really wide, which has left Norburn centrally, literally by himself in some games, and that's where we've been overrun. So there's been green shoots, as it were, but ultimately his final pass, his final shot, his final decision making isn't quite cutting it, which has left him out the side in recent weeks. I've seen parts of him where his press is brilliant. I've seen parts of him where his runs and his passes are excellent, but you can ultimately see why he probably wasn't a consistent outfit with you guys, or at least pulling up trees, and fans were sad to see him go. So he might become a better player, but he is very much a squad player in my opinion, and I'd like to see him get better, but maybe it's part Critchley's fault because he hasn't given him a real role and identity within this team yet.
Sounds like it's the same Albie Morgan that left us then, and you'll be speaking in exactly the same way in 140 games or however long it was with us. I mean, I liked him, and I felt there was something there that just didn't quite work. I mean, just very quickly then, just finally, Brazilians have said, why is Ekpiteta and Penitent not starting? I probably butchered that announcement, but...
done better than me. Pennington's had a back problem last two games. I would be shocked if he didn't start Saturday, but also wouldn't be too shocked in the same way, because Critchley kind of likes to do his own thing, and he's been playing Connolly there, who came in for Bennington with his back, and we beat Barnsley away. And the defence was absolutely phenomenal. Can't say the same on Tuesday, but Pennington by far is our best defender. So if he's not starting Saturday, unless the back problem's even worse, then I don't know. And Marvs has been absolutely appalling in Marvin Epiteta has been appalling in this system. He's been the central ball playing defender, and he's probably taken about 16 years to decide where to pass it. Against Leighton Orient, he played 9 or 10 long balls, and each one of those was because he didn't know where to pass it when he had the ball at centre back. So he's been dropped. Came on against Barnsley, did a good job on Cole, to be fair, stopped a dead cert goal. But Pennington will be starting, no doubt, with Casey and Husband on Saturday. If not, it'll be the same back three.
Excellent. Well, Epiteta sounds like exactly the sort of centre half we'd be signing in years gone by, and well, arguably last season as well. Right, Tom, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Lewis is going to be on your pod later on, so if any Charlton fans want to check it out, it's the It's Not Orange pod. We can get a Blackpool look ahead to the game as well. Tom, thanks for your time, and we'll see you later.
You're welcome.
Cheers. There we go. That's Tom from the It's Not Orange pod joining us on Charlton Live. From an addict's point of view, so, I mean, again, is a much further up in the chat now, so I can't remember who said it. Apologies. But the options up top, Joe, leave us with a bit of a headache in terms of, you know, does Chuck start again? Historically doesn't tend to start any games, so two in a row might be a bit of a risk. Alfie in the 10, do we do that again? Did that work for us? Tedic playing out wide in the first half, did that work for us? I mean, we're coming off the back of a 4-1 win. When it's a 4-1 win, you don't tend to change much. But then Leeburn came on, played really well. It's a headache for old Mickey Apples there, and as we say every week, it's a great headache to have.
I think if Chuck starts on Saturday, I'll need some sort of tablet to keep my heart under control, because I'll be nervous every time he runs. But if he's fit enough to do that, then that's astounding, and whoever's achieved that deserves the biggest medal we can find. I'd probably expect that we'll find Leeburn starting and Chuck's coming off the bench. I know we played well overall and we won the game, but for me, I'm still minded that on the right I'd like to see a winger come in for Tedic. And if that means Tedic goes up front and Leeburn's on the bench, I'm not that upset about that either. I just think having someone that's a bit more tricky in that position could be beneficial, especially if they play three at the back. Someone with a bit of pace, you know, challenging those channels is I think, more what we need. And we got both Chem and Tyrese, who are both very, very good wingers. So I'd like to see still the round pegs put in the round holes. But I don't think we're going to see wholesale changes to that team, because you can't really justify other than for fitness reasons or, you know, spotting a real tactical element that you want to get something else in there for. I don't think you can necessarily just ring the wholesale changes. So that'd be it for me. Tedic or Leeburn up top, and Chem or Tyrese on the wing, and get Mika on the bench and protect him.
Yeah, Luke saying I wouldn't mind Tedic up top. I've been quite impressed with him so far. And Brazilian saying I'd honestly try Campbell right side and Tedic centre forward. Yeah, I mean, Campbell not even starting Tuesday shows again depth, because I really like Tyrese Campbell. He weren't great against Shrewsbury, but then no one particularly was. We haven't really mentioned, obviously, the changing goalkeeper. Ash made some saves on Tuesday, a couple of good ones. Poor old Harry Isted, after finally sort of announcing his arrival at Charlton and being really pleased, is actually out for 6 weeks with that knee injury from the long range effort. But I mean, so that position picks itself. Is there any changes at the back? I mean, I'm not convinced we necessarily need to at this moment in time. I think they've been solid enough. There's still, you know, room for improvement, but I'm not desperately calling for anyone to be dropped at this moment in time at the back, which maybe at other times this season I would have been, Lou.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, whilst there was a little lapse in concentration on Tuesday, which led to that goal and getting caught out, I do think that the only way we're going to sort of stabilise that defence is if we try and keep a consistent back line. And obviously, the left-back position is something where Terrell is going to play, because we haven't got another option there. I think Tanai Watson looked really good in that position since coming in. Hopefully, he's okay to play sort of Saturday, Tuesday, because he's had a lot of injury issues himself. And then that back pairing between Heck and Jones, you know, that needs to develop. I've been really impressed with Jones so far, and I think Hector has looked a little bit more comfortable in the last couple of weeks. So we've got to keep, you know, stick with the partnership and let them sort of blossom together, really. So I wouldn't see any changes in the back line, I don't think.
And Michael's asking if we get Chem Campbell into the starting 11, but probably not desperate to drop anyone in the midfield at the moment in time. But yeah, it's another good option off the bench. Right, we've run out of time on Charlton Live, the big match preview. It's absolutely flown by. It's great to be talking about a big win, you know, that lifted everyone's spirits, and hopefully we can back it up. You know, obviously we'll have to score at least four because Albie's getting a hat trick on Saturday, as we all know. But yeah, it should be a very interesting game against Blackpool this weekend. Yeah, so thank you to everyone who joined us in the live chat. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. Thanks to all of our guests today, and a big thank you to Joe and to Lewis for your time this evening.
Cheers, lads.
Yeah, cheers, lads. Let's see the rip-roaring free-scoring Reds again.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing some of those free-scoring Reds on Saturday. Don't forget to check out our merchandise store if you want one of these snazzy Charlton Live mugs that you can see on my screen there, charltonlive.etsy.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Charlton Live and wherever you get your pods as well. Never miss another episode of Charlton Live. Right, this has been Charlton Live, the big match preview sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. I'm Louis Mendez. We'll be back on Sunday to look back at the game against Blackpool. We look forward to seeing you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.